Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Bible editor or Bible copier, and they're moving from one old parchment and they're writing down to the next parchment, and they get a little mischievous. It's late at night and they say, well, let me slip this one in, see if anybody notices, right? I mean, is anybody else here this morning? We read Hebrews 11, verse 31, and we're thinking, what is Rahab doing here? She doesn't fit the mold for inclusion in the hall of faith. Far from it. She is unlike anyone who we've studied yet this summer. I mean, first of all, she's a she. She's a woman. Besides Sarah, who is mentioned alongside Abraham, there's no other mention of any other woman in the entire hall of faith, right? Because we have Abel, man, Enoch, man, Moses, man, Joseph, man, they're all men. And not only is she a woman, but she's a Gentile. Right? She's a Canaanite from the city of Jericho. She is on the outside looking in when it comes to God's covenant with his people. And not only is she a Gentile woman, she's a prostitute. A sinner. Right? And it's not clear to us, it's not tell us if she's a cultic temple prostitute or just a lady of the night. We're not told that information. What's told in my Bible, I have a footnote. Maybe you have this footnote as well, where it says maybe she was an innkeeper. Right? Did anybody have that footnote in there? And then maybe that makes sense that she's an innkeeper, right? Because where her house is located, it's located in the city wall. So it's kind of like, you know, you get off the interstate, you find a hotel right next to the road, right? So she's maybe an innkeeper. Easy in, easy out, and off they go, right? And maybe it's common knowledge that, you know, Rahab's place is a bed and breakfast with the emphasis on bed, if you know what I mean, right? It's not clear all the specifics, but what we do know is that Rahab is not a woman that's high on the morality totem pole. And so let me get this straight, right? We have Rahab. She is a Gentile woman prostitute. Yes? We're clear on that? Then what is she doing here polluting our sacred hall of faith? She does not belong. She's not like the others. She's not a man. She's not a part of God's chosen people. She is not a woman of high moral standards. What is she doing here in the hall of faith? This begs a question, doesn't it? Who can have faith? Who can have faith? What's the criteria? Does someone have to be male? Does someone have to be a part of God's chosen people? You know, in our context, the church. Does someone have to be pure and pristine and pious without sin? What's the criteria for someone having faith? Let's flesh that out a little bit. Let's just ask the question, right? Can a man have faith? Can a woman have faith? Can a child have faith? Can people from different denominations have faith? Like Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, even Baptist, can they have faith? How about people from different Christian traditions, right? We're from the Protestant tradition. What about Catholics? What about Orthodox? Can they have faith? Can people of different nationalities have faith? I mean, certainly Dutch people can have faith, right? What about those Germans? What about Korean, Chinese, Mexican, Indonesian, Liberian, Sudanese? Can they have faith? Can the person who's seeking to live a pious life and is legalistically trying to keep themselves from sin, can they have faith? Or what about the person who's maybe a little uncouth and maybe a little unrefined and maybe a little too honest about life's troubles and struggles with sin? Can they have faith? Can the person with two homes have faith? And what about the person who's homeless? Can someone with long hair or someone with short hair have faith? How about the person who has one piercing or no piercings or multiple piercings? How about people who have nothing on their skin or maybe some people who have a little ink on their skin? Can they have faith? Can people who are straight and who are not have faith? What about Republicans and Democrats? Can they have faith? What about pro-life or pro-choicers? Can they have faith? What about those who belong to the NRA or want stricter gun control? Can they have faith? Can those who are and aren't vaccinated, can they have faith? What about those who grew up and were baptized in the church and went to nursery, went to children's worship, went to Sunday school, went to VBS, went to youth group, and have grown up in the church culture? Can they have faith? Or what about the person who didn't go to church, doesn't know the order of the books of the Bible, can't give us the Sunday school answer to every question? Can they have faith? When it comes to faith, who can have it? I'm pretty confident. I'm going to trust we know the answer to all those questions. It's the same answer every time. Yes, of course, that person can have faith. But then why is it when we come across Rahab? And why is it when we come across the Rahabs of our present time? You know, the ones who don't fit the bill, the ones who don't slide exactly into our already established paradigm. Why does that catch our attention? Why does that make us pause? What makes us skip a beat when we come to Hebrews 11, verse 31, when we come across Rahab here in our hall of faith? What makes us defensive and uneasy and anxious and nervous when the Rahabs of our world today show up expressing faith? There's no denying that Rahab is an unlikely individual to show up in the Bible's Hall of Faith. Her inclusion is surprising. There's no doubt about that. Just as there's no doubt about her faith. Unlikely place to find faith or not, Rahab has faith. You have your Bibles open, yet I trust. Turn with me to the passage, to Joshua 2, the larger story that we looked at. Let's talk through this a little bit here. A little bit of background, a little context here, right? The people of Israel are ready to enter into the land that is promised them. And Joshua, who is now the new leader of the Israelites, Moses has died, he's gone. Now Joshua comes, he's going to lead them, and he sends out these spies. And he says, spy out the land, check this place out that we're going to enter into, and especially check out Jericho, right? We said a couple weeks ago that you don't get very far into the promised land unless you get through Jericho. And so these two spies, they head out, they come to Jericho, and they stay at Rahab's city wall home. Now, why do they stay there? My guess is that they stayed there because it's at the city wall, right? It's easy in, easy out, undetected. I don't think they're going to stay at the Hilton downtown right next to the king's palace. That would not make sense. And I also wonder if they stay at Rahab's house because of her profession, she maybe sees a lot and hears a lot and knows a lot. She maybe has a wealth of information. And so they stay at her house, and somehow the king of Jericho finds out that they're there. He sends an arresting party to take these two spies into custody. But Rahab hides the spies, and she tells a little fib to cover for them. And some of us might have an issue with what Rahab does here. It's just another check mark against her name. Not only is she a Gentile woman prostitute, but she's a lying one. Right? And this is another reason against her inclusion into the Hall of Faith. So let's talk about this a little bit. Yes, indeed, lying is wrong. For sure. In our home, you can mess up, you can do something wrong, and you'll have consequences for that. But if you lie about it, the consequences for lying are most likely going to be worse than they would have been just for the deed itself. Lying is wrong. At the same time, there's times when deception is legitimate and not wrong, when it's part of the greater narrative that is being played out. Right? Let me give you an example. Some of you are hunters. Anybody hunters? I'm not a hunter. I'm like, oh, poor Bambi, run, please. Right? My soft heart. I'm just not a hunter. Right? But some of you are hunters. What do you wear when you're hunting? Not the orange stuff, you know, for safety. But what else do you wear? Camouflage. Sometimes hunters use guns. Sometimes they use things called traps to catch the animals. Fishermen, put what at the end of the hook? Now, I'm not thinking of a worm, but I'm thinking of a lure, right? Lure. Deception is a part of the bigger thing we're trying to do. Sports teams use this all the time. They use misdirection. They have different positions and posturing to be deceptive in order to gain an advantage in the game, right? You're playing cards at home with your friends. Maybe you're playing Texas Hold'em, and what do you have on your face? It's called a poker face, right? There are times when there are moments and circumstances when deception is a part of the game. Now, I'll admit, in our passage, this is not a game. In fact, this is really war and conquering of the land and taking the promised land. But the land, the taking of the land and this war that's to come, that is the larger narrative here. And what happens in war? There's things like what? Espionage, reconnaissance, counterintelligence, decoys. Those are all pieces that are there to accomplish the greater work. And so, yes, lying is wrong. But there are times when deception is legitimate because it is part of the greater story. And this appears to be one of those times. It's not for me to judge Rahab's lie here, but what I do see is that her lie, her fib, is not held against her. And so let's go back to the passage and let's go back to the question. Who can have faith? And let's go back to the assertion that Rahab does have faith. This Gentile woman, lying, prostitute, she indeed has faith. If you have your Bibles open, look at Joshua 2, verse 8. Rahab goes and she speaks to the spies. Notice what she says in verse 9. She says, I know that the Lord has given this land to you. Doesn't say how, but Rahab knows the Lord and knows that this land is going to the Israelites. Now jump down to verse 11. What she says here is incredibly substantial. She says, when we heard it, now she's referring to the Israelites. They had conquered some kingdoms on the other side of the Jordan. When we heard it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. Now listen to this part. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now, at first glance, we maybe look at that and we're like, oh, what's the big deal? We've heard about that. We read about that in Scripture. It says that in other places, God of heaven and earth. We read about that. And we're like, good job, Rahab, you got this right. But think about this. This is Rahab. This is the Gentile woman, lying prostitute, whose inclusion in the hall of faith we questioned earlier. She, of all people, is naming and declaring and proclaiming that the Lord is the God of heaven and earth. This is a confession of faith. She's stating what she believes to be true about the Lord. Not unlike what we saw a few moments ago with Ethan and Nick and Grace, who stood before us and told us what they believed about God. Rahab is expressing what she believes about God. It's an expression of her faith. And what if I told you this morning that this is the first confession of faith in Scripture? Now, I know it's hard to believe. Trust me. But it's true. Not Abel, not Enoch, not Noah, not even Abraham, not Moses, not anybody else that we studied this summer made a confession of faith like this. But Rahab does. The Gentile woman, lying, prostitute. Rahab makes the first confession of faith in Scripture. She has faith. Is she an unlikely place to find faith? Absolutely. But faith is found in unlikely places. And so, yes, her inclusion in the Hall of Faith is surprising. But maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe once we get past those labels that we've assigned to her, right? Woman, Gentile, liar, prostitute. Maybe when we take those labels off, we can actually see Rahab herself and see her faith, and not just faith, but her faith in action. Because in the entire Joshua 2 passage, we see her faith in action, and we see it through the gift of hospitality. Right? Remember with me that biblical hospitality is not just potlucks and handshakes. Biblical hospitality is about welcoming the stranger in. It's about giving aid to those who have need. It's about being a blessing to those out of the blessings we have received. And what is Rahab doing throughout the whole story here in Joshua 2? She welcomes the outsider. She welcomes the stranger into her city wall home. She provides safety for the spies that Joshua sent. She extends hospitality. This is faith being lived out. And then we see further in the passage, after she has given safety to the spies, she extends hospitality to others, to her family. She knows her city is about to be destroyed. She knows the Israelites are to come in. And so she says to the spies, she makes an oath with them, she makes a promise with them, says, save my family, save my father and my mother, and my brothers, my sisters, and all who belong to them, care for them. Out of her faith, she's giving hospitality to her family, seeking that their lives would be spared. And we heard, you know, a couple weeks ago when we looked at the Joshua 6 passage, we saw Rahab and her family was spared. And we looked at that again, Joshua 6, those verses we read three times over. It says very specifically, Rahab and her family, their lives were spared. And so this hospitality she offers to the spies, hospitality that she offers to her family, it is her faith. Yes, in an unlikely place, but faith that is in action. And I think there's one other thing we have to consider as well. When we think about Rahab and this question of who can have faith, if you have your Bibles open, if you're in Joshua 2, go back to Joshua 6, just a couple pages to the right. Go back to Joshua 6, verse 25. It's the very last verse we read. And go to the very last words of verse 25. It says this, and she, Rahab, lives among the Israelites to this day. Now, when those words were written, that was literally true. She was living amongst them. But I would offer to us this morning that those words are still true. That the faith that is found in unlikely places continues to impact us today, right here at Westview. All right, you have those Bibles open. We got a surprise passage for us. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. All right, so have your Bibles. Turn with me to the right, to the New Testament. First book of the New Testament is the book of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 1. So the very first chapter of the entire New Testament. The very first thing that Matthew does when he starts his gospel is he lays out this genealogy of Jesus, kind of like Jesus' family tree. Right. So if you're in Matthew chapter 1, go to verse 5 with me. Matthew 1 verse 5 says this, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was, help me out, Rahab. Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Now you think that's good, look at what it says next. Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, is married to Ruth. Ruth is a Moabite outsider. That's a whole other story, sermon for another day. But Boaz, whose mother is Rahab, whose wife is Ruth, has a son named Obed. Obed has a son named Jesse. Jesse has a son named David. As in King David. As in the Davidic line from which Jesus is a part of. The same Jesus in which we put our hope, our trust, our faith. Jesus in whom we have life. Rahab, this Gentile woman, lying, prostitute, she lives amongst us this day. Her blood flowed in the blood of Jesus. Right? The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for your sins and my sins and for the sin of the world. The blood of Jesus that washed us clean of our sins. That blood of Jesus had the blood of Rahab in them. Rahab lives amongst us this day. Her faith in unlikely places finds a home within us today when we have faith in Jesus Christ. And so let me go back to that question. Who can have faith? Doesn't the full story of Rahab affirm to us that anyone in any situation can have faith? And friends, that includes you and me. The beautiful testimony of Rahab affirms that there are places where faith can be found, even though we might describe ourselves as an unlikely place. That's good news for us today, friends. That before we write ourselves off, before we write ourselves off because of our struggles that we have, because of our trials, because of our trip-ups, you know, before we write ourselves off, well, I'm someone who struggles, or I have doubts, or I sin, or I'm not pious, and I'm not pristine, and I'm not pure, I'm a little uncouth, I'm a little unrefined, we who get labeled, I have labels all over me, friends, we can have faith. No matter who we are, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, remember Rahab. Faith is found in unlikely places. Faith living inside of you and me, no matter how unlikely we might be. And again, doesn't the full story of Rahab affirm to us that anyone in any situation can have faith? And so before we are too quick to judge, before we are too quick to look down and to disregard, before we write someone off in a situation because they do not fit the norm that we've established, before we apply unhelpful labels, remember Rahab. Remember her faith witness. Remember that faith is found in unlikely places. Amen. Pray with me, please. God, in this moment, I'm just, you know, really thinking about and overwhelmed by this, the fact that you created each one of us in your own image, and yet each one of us are unique and so different and distinct from one another that not two of us are alike. And yet each one of us, no matter who we are unconditionally loved by you. We are all saved by your grace. We're all invited into a faith relationship with you, each of us. And just as we heard this morning, God, from Ethan and Nick and Grace, I pray that all of us will respond in faith to the love and the grace that you've shown to us through Jesus Christ. So today we thank you, God, for the witness of Rahab that allows us to remember that faith is found in unlikely places, including us. Even if we don't fit the norm, even if we don't fit the mold, even if we don't fit the preconceived ideas of what a faithful person should look like. In those moments where we struggle, in the moments where we might be quick to write off, help us to remember Rahab. God, this morning we give you thanks and praise, first and foremost, for the gift of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks that through his life, his death, and his resurrection, that is our sure and certain hope in these anxious and tumultuous times. With the confidence that we have that, you know, what Jesus has done for us, we come before your throne knowing that Christ is our intercessor. We can come through Christ to your throne boldly before you with our praises and our petitions. And so in Christ's name today, we do celebrate the professions of faith of Ethan. We celebrate the new partnerships of Nick and Grace. Continue to work in each one of their lives, drawing them closer to you. Spirit, would you mold and shape them and further into the likeness of Jesus? God, we thank you this day for the opportunities to serve in this place and in this community and throughout our world. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your continued work in us and through us, leading and guiding us according to your will. Lord, we also pray this day in the name of Jesus for healing, restoration, for health, for Torger and Levon. We ask for your comforting presence to be with Sherry and Jerry as they journey in these times with Sherry's mom. We pray this morning for those here in our midst, in our community, and in our world that feel labeled and left out. Those who feel looked down upon and disregarded because maybe they don't fit the preconceived mold that we've established. God, we pray that all of us would be reminded of your love and that none of us are truly worthy, but that we are recipients of what is called grace. God, we pray for your church around the world. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ from every nation and language and tribe and people who on this day are bringing you glory in their own way, in their own context, confessing the good news of your salvation. May this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ reach the furthest corners of this earth so that all would know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray this in his name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.